Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Puchina Carcanal, and I thank you for joining me today. You could have spent your time doing anything else, but I thank you for taking the time out for just joining us today. Today's topic, looking for love in all the wrong places. I don't start my show off without going into prayer, so let's just go into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I ask you for healing over my body right now, Lord, because I'm not 100%, but we're going to keep moving forward. I thank you for those who are listening and those who will be tuning in on demand. I thank you for those who will be calling in to discuss this sensitive topic of love, because we know that you are love and that's where love is created from. I thank you for our families. I thank you for what you've done, what you're about to do, and what you're going to do. Yes, I say that all the time because you are so worthy, and we're just grateful for the grace and mercy that you have shown upon us every day, all day, even when we don't deserve it. I thank you for this ministry that you just birthed in me. And I thank you for all the lives that is designed to touch. I thank you for all the resources and all the people that you have been bringing into my life. And I just thank you for where it's going to go. I thank you for who you are. I can't thank you enough. And as we move forward to tonight, Lord, I ask you to decrease me. And for those who will be tuning in on the show and be joining me on the show later on, to decrease us, Lord, so you may get to increase. And that anything that we say is a clear reflection of you and what you would like for us to spread, to be a reflection of you. And then, Lord, as we move forward, we give you the honor and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I move forward today, as we talk about that topic, looking for love in all the wrong places, you know, in the pursuit of seeking happiness, you know, we find ourselves settling. Well, let me just put the disclaimer out there first. Anything that I talk about on this show, I am usually something I've gone through, I'm going through, and I don't talk without going through the experience myself. Anyone that I bring on the show has probably already been through it. And because, like I said, this is a show with real people, real lives that have gone through these similar situations. That's how we're able to relate to people, because we've gone through. We're not professionals. We're just people who have a testimony, and we're just trying to share to let you know that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. There are people out there that's going through. And if we can become from going from a victor to a victor, then you can do it as well. I want to encourage you, if you're interested in joining in and tuning in, you're more than welcome to do so, just to listen, or if you would like to talk, you can call in at 914-338-1552. I would love to hear what you have to say throughout this situation. You know, call in if you want to call in. If you don't want to call in and you just want to email, you're more than welcome to do so. I do have an email address at C as in Charlie, O-A-F, woman, at gmail.com. That's C as in Charlie, O-A-F, woman, at gmail.com. So I'm more than happily welcome you all to come in and join us. If you're interested if you're just listening, great. If you want to chime in, that's fine. But you can actually text me if you want to chime in. If you just don't want to, you know, you don't want to be identified, that's fine. But you can actually text me if you want to be, you know, if you want to put in your input at 678-887-9441. You don't have to identify yourself. Just to say, hey, I have something I want to say, and that lets me know I can recognize your number, and I'll be more than happy to chime you in. This is freestanding. I just ask everyone be respectful, because that's what this is all about, and there's no judgment here. So let's move forward. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Let's talk about this for a second. You know, like I was saying, in the pursuit of seeking happiness, we find ourselves settling. We find ourselves settling for less than what we know we deserve. And sometimes in settling, we find ourselves indulging into toxic friendships, toxic relationships, or becoming a workaholic. And I'm guilty of all the above. And I'm just wondering, is there anyone else that's doing that? But I add the real question is, why are we doing that? It's why are we seeking love? What is it that we're not content with? It's like, are we trying to fill a void? I would say for me, yes, I'm trying to fill a void in my life, and I use work as one of my reasons of doing that. But we're going to talk about a little that later on today, and I'm going to chime in a couple of people who has graciously decided to join me in that today. So let's talk about that for a second. Let's just really talk about that for a second. And I'm just curious, you know, if that's something that you've gone through. Have you been looking for love? And have you sought it in all the wrong places? And as a result, you know, what some of the ways that you've done it. So I'm going to bring in some of my people. We're going to have like a little roundtable discussion. And I'm going to go into my first person, Miss Karen. I call her a different name. I'm sorry. So Miss Karen. Are you
yes,
there?
I'm here.
Thank you, Ms. Karen. So thank you for joining me. Welcome to Chronicles. Again, you're a repeated guest, and I appreciate you chiming in and tuning into it and give me, you know, I love you. I love you. But as you know, you're hearing the topic of looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, I'm not sure if you heard some of my intro. You know, of why we're seeking it, you know, what we're really seeking for is love. And we had this conversation earlier, we're trying to fill a void. But, you know, Webster Dictionary, I went to look up what love actually was. And Webster defined it as, one, a quality or feeling of strong or constant affection for and dedication to one another, like a motherly love. And then, two, an attraction based on sexual desire, the strong affection and tenderness felt by lovers, you know, a beloved person like darling or something of that nature. And then on the flip side of that, I actually went to the Bible, you know, to talk about love. And I went to, we find it in Corinthians, First Corinthians 13:4-7, and talks about how love is gentle, kind. It does not anger easily. It does not keep a record of things. And I just find it very fascinating. I'm just curious to hear your take on this. First of all, the question is, why are we really seeking love? Why do you think women or people really seeking love?
Most time, I can't say people, let's just talk about me. At one point, it was just to fill that void that was literally missing. And sometimes we try to fill voids with every topic, but sometimes something stems from looking for that love from your father. Even though for me, I lived in the home with my dad, but of course there was that embrace that I was looking for. So what I did, I looked for it outside of the home. Even though I was not a young teenager, I was an older teenager. So I kind of looked for it on the outside of the home of that, just that embracing, you know, from him. But so it caused me to seek people, to try to seek people that wasn't like him. But then it, then you end up with the same type of people that you try to avoid altogether. And then it's just like anyone that said, oh, you're beautiful, you're this. So you kind of take on to that and say that it was love. Or, oh, you had a nice little shape, you got a cute shape, you're fine. You take that of love.
Mm-hmm.
In all essence, we look for that father to kind of embrace us in that way of showing us what true love really is.
You said
so
something very interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So with that being, you know, with that being said, it was just that something as a teenager that, I mean, young adult, well, being like in the teenage years, that part of it is so important. It is very important that by the time you get to your being a teen, because now you're having all these different feelings, all these different people coming around. So, but there was something just missing.
Mm-hmm.
And not until I became an adult when I realized what I was literally missing, and it was there the entire time. So sometimes it's this that we look for certain things that is always there, but we are seeking for something else because we feel, because it is put in a place where society makes it think this is the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That it's supposed to be a certain way, but the entire time it was always there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I want to go back to something you said. You said even though you had a father in the home, you felt that there was a void. What was the void again for you?
Just that embracing.
The verbal
part of telling me who I am, and you know, telling me who I am. That was the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Telling me who, speaking it verbally, showing me. I didn't see it as showing me because that's not what society made it to be. They made it that everything is verbal. Some things is not verbal all the time. I've learned as I got older, everything is not verbal. Some things people show you. And because love is not only just a verbal thing, it is an action.
I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with that. You know, it's interesting because some of us didn't grow up with our fathers in the home. I mean, I had a grandfather, and so I was raised up old school, but, you know, I get it. He was there, but mine was opposite. He didn't tell me anything, but if I needed anything, I had it, you know, hands down. I mean, I had it, but he wouldn't tell me, like, you're pretty or I love you or anything like that. He just made sure that he provided and made sure I had it. And my biological father, he was there when, you know, he was in another state. But a part of that was part of, because, you know, he was, you know, him and my mom and dad was divorced. So it was, you know, that one is just a complicated situation because it's not as if he didn't want to do it, you know. But like I said, that situation is complicated. You know, sometimes parents want to be parents, but situations don't allow them to be the parent they would like to be, unfortunately. So as I just know for me, that void was I didn't have, you know, to me, the father's role is always, you know, that's the first man that tells you you're beautiful. That's the first man that takes you out on your date. That's the one that sets you up to know that you don't have to settle for anything, you know. But mine was kind of warped because, you know, I was violated at such a young age and stuff, so I didn't really – I was just all discombobulated, but
you know, it's just interesting, but I got what you said. You know, I get what you're saying, you know, because I have to give my grandfather credit. He did what he could do. He wasn't, you know, verbally there, but physically he made sure I had, you know. I just know, for an example, you know where we live, you know, I was like, I'm really going to feel like I need to walk down this dirt road to catch this bus. You know, next thing I know, the bus was coming down the road to come and get me. You know, everything I needed, he just made sure that I had it. He may not have been verbally, but he was there. So I get what you're saying, but I, you know, you find yourself going outside of your home environment to seek what you wasn't getting at home. And mine was just so interesting. So I definitely get it. I definitely get it. I definitely get it. I think for me, it was like, you know, not only that, it's so many other things, but I'm not going to get into me. I want to bring in someone else. I asked someone else to join, and this is Miss Roxanne. I believe you met Miss Roxanne before. I will put you on hold for a second because I want Roxanne to talk, and then I will bring us all collectively together, okay?
Okay.
All right. Miss Roxanne.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you there? Hi, how are you? Thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening. I appreciate you very much. So have you been listening to? I'm sure you've been listening. So, well, I'm just curious to know, what is your take? Did you get a chance to, have you heard everything thus far, or do I need to recap?
Yes, yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
What is your take on that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to talk about something that I saw yesterday. I think it was last night, and then that's going to be my caveat into me discussing my looking for love in the wrong places. But there was a tweet or a post that a young lady made, and it said, she kind of said, I'm not calling Serena Williams a coonette or anything like that, but I would rather be in an abusive, toxic relationship with a black man before I date outside of my race. Mm-hmm. And really, I was reading that like, really? Like, that's really what you, okay, so anyway, that just kind of made me think about some other stuff. So thinking about toxic relationships, and you think that's actually okay, I kind of had this notion that somehow I had to be a man's savior. Like, it was almost like, because I was broken and I hadn't gone through the process of trying to heal, so it's almost like I needed a man that was broken as well so I could help him heal and I could be his superhero. I don't know why, but that's what I did. So I ended up in these relationships where I didn't fully know how to love me because of, you know, when you're violated when you're younger and no one ever addresses the issue or addresses, mm-hmm. You know, just the emotional side of it. People like to say, oh, children are resilient, they'll get over it. That is, like, I've never heard mm-hmm. such a lie in my life. And most of us mm-hmm. know, if you've gone through something as a child, no, honey, I didn't just get over it. It caused me to be who I am mm-hmm. today. But so like I was saying, I'm in these relationships, and I remember just thinking, you know, I'm supposed to just ride or die. And then, like, you know, as you get older and you mature, and I'm like, well, why I gotta die? Like, why I just can't ride? Why I just can't be in a good relationship, you know? And it's because I was in these relationships, and I felt like, okay, well, he's going through a tough time. Yeah, but I don't want to leave him. The crazy thing is, I met him in that space. I had to look mm-hmm. back, and I was like, you had your own house. You got this, that, and the third. This dude ain't got no place to live. He barely got a car. How can he give you what you really need? Like, so I kind of feel like being broken, I don't think you see the wholeness of what love really is. Like, your image of love is skewed, and you can only go after what you think love is. So until you get to the point and you learn, like, no, love is not supposed to hurt. Love ain't supposed to cuss you out. Love ain't supposed to cheat on you and take your car and drive to some woman's house in your car. Like, love doesn't do those things. But then when you have the person, and for some reason this person was a narcissist, that said, well, you just gonna leave me? Like, you just gonna leave me? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just going to leave you. But it got to the point where I was like, well, I just can't run out on him. You know, I just can't leave him like everybody else has left him. I'm not God. I'm not his savior. But even more than that, I'm not fully healed. I'm still broken. So I'm looking for a broken man. You can't tell me that you've gone through something in your life that has broken your spirit or your image of yourself, even if you don't realize it subconsciously. Subconsciously, you don't feel that you're worthy enough to have a man that is going to tell you you're beautiful, call you a princess, but not just say those things, but he does those things. I got caught up on words. I got caught up on, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the showing it, like, you're not showing it. Your words and your actions are not lining up. But I just feel like for me, the places that I was looking was places of brokenness, because I felt like, well, I'm broken, and then if he's broken, you know, we can love each other back to being whole. You know, it. I don't know why I thought like that. I really don't. But like I said, one of the biggest things, I just kept thinking, why am I sticking with him? Well, you know, people make mistakes, and, you know, like some generations ago, they called them, I don't think it was the baby boomers. Might have been before the baby boomers. I don't remember what their parents are called, but I remember being told that characteristically they're not retreatists, meaning they'll be in a marriage where they're being beaten. He got a whole nother family, but they ain't leaving. They're not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yes, these are the baby boomers' parents. Sorry, I think that's what it is. So that's why baby boomers are like, nah, I saw my mama do that. I'm not about to do that, you know. So they were retreatists. They're like, we got to get out of here. But so many of us, we see this thing where, oh, well, my granddaddy always beat my mama. I mean, this stuff is not normal. And just because you stay with somebody for 20 years doesn't mean anything. Like, even though I'm divorced and I've had broken relationships, I've been in groups where people say, well, I don't want to get love advice or relationship advice from anybody that's divorced, you know, or single. I want to get it from people that have been married 20, 30 years. No, you really need to think about that. Because if I've been divorced, I can tell you what to do, what not to do. I can give you my testimony. But just because somebody's been married 20 years, I asked somebody that the other day, and I think I thought she was divorced. And I said, are you divorced? She's like, no, been married 36 years, but should have been divorced 35 years ago or something like that. And I was like, wow. Like, I didn't know what to say. But think about it. This lady says she's been married for that long, but she should have been divorced like years ago. That's deep to me, because that doesn't mean that maybe, yeah, she can give me some advice of what not to do, but my thing is, you're still there. You only going to teach me how to put up with mess and how to deal with not being loved the way I'm supposed to be loved. And at this point, I don't want a broken man, because I'm not fully healed, but I'm definitely not as broken as I was. So I'm not looking to be a man's savior. I'm not looking to love you through your pain and out of your brokenness, because what I found is just the last two relationships, they didn't want that. I was like, well, maybe you should go to counseling. And it was all this kickback. I don't want to do that. Da, 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 da. And then they end up trying, you know, like being resentful. Well, you want me to change? I'm not ready to change. I'm like, okay, hold on. Yeah, I'm trying to help you out. But some of them don't want it. You know, they don't want it. I remember one boyfriend, I would try to pray for him, and he was actually like, he had some depression. I don't know, he was bipolar or something, but he would say, I would say, well, let me pray with you. I need a girlfriend. I don't need a pastor. Okay. So it was like different things I would try to do to help him. And if it seemed like I was trying to be Iyanla, I need a girlfriend. I don't need a therapist. Like, it was always something like that. And I just kept thinking, I'm just trying to love you. Like, I feel like when you're with someone, to me, that's the type of person I want to be with. I want to be with somebody that wants to pray for me and with me when I'm going through, when I'm not going through. I want to be with someone that can look at the psychological thing and say, baby, you know what? You know, in your subconscious, you're doing blah, blah, blah. Like, to me, someone that loves you, it's all in one, you know. But the brokenness, some of us are attracted to brokenness because we're still broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not. That two broken people don't make a complete relationship. Y'all broken even more, you know?
It's interesting because you said quite a few things that I can very much relate to. You know, I think my cousin and I used to be like this. Are you broken, busted, disgusted? Come on, I'll take you. Because we always want to save someone. It's like we always want to, you know, save someone. And I think for me, if I was able to help someone else, it'll take whatever I was going through, take my mind off of that. You know, because
exactly.
I didn't want to deal with whatever I was dealing. It just helped me take my mind off of that. That's what I found myself doing. So I'm actually going to bring Denise on the line with us. Well, Karen, as she likes to be called. I'm going to bring on the line and get her to chime in with this because I have some things I want to bring up with the both of us. Denise, Karen, are you still there?
I'm here.
I'm sorry. You just got to charge it to my head. Huh?
Denise is fine.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to bring you on the line because you both have some very good perspective here, and then I want to throw something else out there. Okay, going back to, you know, into brokenness, you know, yeah, I could definitely relate to that, and then going looking for what we didn't get at home or what we're looking for. But I want to go into a sensitive topic. I'm going to go to when we start looking for things or looking for love in all the wrong places, we find ourselves going for men, unattainable men. Then we know we cannot have, but you know what? They give us that attention that we need. They give us that attention that, you know, we've been longing for, and knowing good and well, one, they're unattainable, but yet we're still attracted to it because they're filling a void.
Well, they're really not filling that void.
It's a temporary void.
Exactly. It's just what we perceive that they are giving us. Because this flesh is longing for it, for that
right.
attention, and because the attention is given, we receive it as love.
Right.
So
exactly.
So it's just, I mean, like as I was saying earlier about, you know, I was looking for it verbally. The verbal words and
uh-huh.
didn't pay attention to any of the actions that were given. And
uh-huh.
I mean, because the same thing that what dad could have done, my dad provided for me. He gave me the things that we needed, not just what we wanted.
Uh-huh.
And so, and when he says no about something, if we ask to go such and such place, he says no. There's always been a reason why he said no. And again, not until
uh-huh.
after I got older,
uh-huh.
after having my children, the last one was born at 26. So imagine that those years, at 26 is that when that light bulb went off, but didn't clearly
uh-huh.
go off because I still fell for those same knuckleheads, and I'm calling them knuckleheads right now, you know, want to call them knuckleheads. Still fell for those knuckleheads that could not even provide for me because they couldn't provide for themselves.
Uh-huh.
So what Ms. Roxanne
uh-huh.
was talking about, I clearly understand that part. I truly understand that part. And, you know, and to protect some of the innocent but not so innocent,
uh-huh.
I still see that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because we settling for things just to fill a void, or some of us fall and say, you know, just to say for sake of saying I have somebody. Just like I think with the young lady, but the tweet earlier is just that, just say I'm have somebody. I've never been in a physical abusive relationship. Never have. So, you know, thank God for that. But if, and I guess because I'm very verbal.
No, not you.
I believe. Yes, me. I think some of them may have tried to be abusive verbally and mentally, mm-hmm. but try to be controlled uh-huh. over you. Mm-hmm. But I was never the one that always keep my mouth shut. So maybe that's the issue I have. But but I just listen to just to have the sake of having somebody. I just. Okay, I'm kind of baffled about the 30, you know, being married for 30-something years, but should have been divorced 30-something years. I mm-hmm. understand that. Also well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
But that's all I'm going to say, protecting the innocent but not so innocent.
Innocent. Gotcha. I still say, going back to that, having a man, having a piece of man than having any man at all, it really goes back to, you know, just from my seeking, you know, seeking love in all the wrong places and accepting toxic relationships. Some of it, you know, hoping, you know, to fix, or accepting brokenness because I was broken myself, you know, accepting relationship I know I should not be in, not only just relationship, but friendships as well, you know, accepting that as well and just feeling like, you know, something is better than nothing. And it just gets to a point where you're so full of poison that it pours, seeps out of your, it just really seeps out, and then it becomes a part of you, and then you have to wonder, okay, where is all this coming from? This is this really you? Because you, those are what I call those spirits. They start attaching to you, and it's nothing cool about it, nothing whatsoever. And you're gonna have to make up in your mind, is this what you really want your life to be about? You know, and then it brings me back to God's definition of love, you know, it is not what we are or what we have allowed in our lives. It's just not, you know, and it comes from first loving him and then learning how to love ourselves. And I remember having Nicole on the show, and she mentioned about learning to love herself first. And she talked about the death of her father and all the anxieties and stuff that came from it. So she learned how to love herself. And I had to commend on, I'm sorry, it was Monica. It was Monica that was talking about it. She talked about how she had to learn to love herself. And that's like a really big thing, because sometimes as women, we're so busy seeking these relationships, whether they're toxic or whatever, with this young lady. I'm still a little taken back by that one too, Roxanne, about instead of dating outside of the race, you rather deal with a man, you know, wear back purple, whatever, you know, you don't want to deal with them, but you rather deal with a black man that would treat you like nothing. I'm truly baffled by that one, but you know, so you don't love yourself enough. I'm just truly baffled by that one right there. But that emotional baggage and stuff. And I have a question for you, Roxanne. What did you do at what point in your life that you got to a point where you just, where something just clicked? And then once it did click, what did you do to turn it around for those who are listening? Who may be going through.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I felt that I had grown a lot in the relationships I had been in that I learned, but again, I didn't have a certain type of guidance. Like, my mom said to me one time that half a man is better than no man, and I said, no, ma'am. I was a grown adult when she told me this because she had a boyfriend that was just not, you know. So I said, Mommy, that's not true. How do you mean that? I'd rather be single by myself. So I remember the last relationship I've been in, because I'm like about 4 years single and, you know, abstinent, and I feel wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But that relationship, there were so many firsts that I'd never done in my life. That part of my life, I felt like I was on the ceiling. I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I was on my ceiling looking down at myself doing stuff like, most people that know me know that I'm natural, whether I had a fro or whatever. Before that, I was relaxed, but once I went natural, I went natural. And I remember this man saying, well, I like long hair. So I got a sew-in. I have never been in such pain in my life, not even childbirth. Getting my hair braided down, getting it sewn in, oh, because he wanted it. And it got to this point where I was like, this cannot be like what relationships are like. But then a part of me was like, well, I want to show him that I'm a different kind of woman, so he's going to love me different. He's going to treat me different than he treats the rest of those women. Not that's his character. So it got to where it was a spiritual thing, because I would break up with him and I kept going back, and I was like, this is where you got to make sure you keep God first, because I kind of drifted away from church being with him. And I was like, Pastor, I break up with him and I'll be done, and then I go back. But I was like, the link is, you know, this person that'll say, well, please talk to him. I'll block the number. And I remember one of my girlfriends, it was a passage in Luke. I know it's in Luke. I can't remember exactly where it is. But it's a scripture that talks about the unclean spirit that leaves the house, goes wandering, and, you know, it finds barren lands, and it comes back to the house. It found the house. Oh, the house is cleaner now. Oh, the house is nicer now. I'm the house now, okay? This is what this means.
Mm-hmm.
And then that unclean spirit went and got seven more spirits, even more evil than itself, and the state of the person was worse than what they were. That thing was so spiritual. Like, the more that I knew, you need to get back in the Word, you need to get back into God, because this is a spiritual thing. I'm telling you, like, when the Lord released me from that relationship, I was like, how do you lose yourself? How do you got your own house. How do you let somebody come and tell you, oh, we going to paint the living room this color? This ain't your house. This is my house. You know? But I'm going to let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're going to do this. But it was like, and I literally would look in the mirror and say, why are you letting him do that? Like, it was so much stuff, and I kept thinking, like, wow, who was she? But I had to keep getting in the Word, even to get him out my house. I would go read the Word every night, listen to my worship music, just be in prayer. I would lock myself in my own bathroom for about 2 hours. I wasn't even sleeping in my own bed. I was sleeping on my couch. But God, me getting closer to him and building up myself spiritually, and then being under the right teaching and guidance, I guess that's why I always say I love my church and, you know, I love my pastors. I don't put my pastors on a pedestal. But my pastor has a background in counseling. That's what he does, you know, in addition to being an apostle. So when you start to look at things, if you say you're a Christian and you say, but when you start looking at it spiritually, like you said, those soul ties, I don't think people really understand the depth of that. Like, when I tell you that thing was spiritual, when I started reading Luke, I remember breaking down and crying, because the relationship before him was bad. You know, it was this one, like I said, I found myself doing things I never did for nobody, and it was a first. Well, I've never done this. I've never dealt with that. I started getting stalked. It was so much craziness, and I said, God, what is going on? I feel like I was chilling on the beach, just enjoying a nice day, and this tornado came out of nowhere and just touched down in the middle of my little peaceful day. That's what they were to me, him and his people. Mm-hmm. That's what they were to me in my life. And so I just had to keep searching for that peace again, and the only place I could go was to God. So spiritually, when I understood where I was and what was going on and how crazy and just tight that soul tie was, then I was free. When I got the understanding and I got closer to God and I did the things I was supposed to do, and that's why now being single and abstinent, when I talk to people, I have a couple of friends that laugh at me sometimes, and I said, but you don't understand. It's a feeling. I said, when you've been free, you truly are free, and you have grown in Christ, and you know how much you love him, and you know what he kept you from. You know what he saved you from? I mean, nobody can talk me into going back. If I got to stay single for 10, 20 years, I'm good with that. But nobody is going to ever make me go back into that hell I was in. Somebody said, how do you, in one of the singles groups on Facebook, how did they say it? Basically, how do you cope with being single? Like, you know what I posted?
Mm-hmm.
Flashbacks of all the hurt and pain and hell I was in in that toxic relationship, that keeps me single, honey. I ain't trying to go back there. Just a flashback of it, I can feel the emotion and just how horrible it was. Nobody can make me go back to that part of my life that sometimes I don't even remember. And I have a memory like an elephant. There's parts of my life I literally tried to forget those years that I was in that relationship because it was so horrible. But again, when you start getting with people that's unequally yoked and that can tell you, oh, I go to church. No, you're not spiritual, though. Just because you go to church don't mean you're spiritual. You get with them people, you're the light, they the darkness. You ain't bringing them to the light, sugar. They bring you to the darkness. You're going to drift away from going to church. And the next thing you know, you're going to find yourself caught up in something demonic. I mean, that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. When you get your spiritual life right and you get that thing with God, you will see it for what it is. You see it for what it is, and you're not going to let nobody turn you around. This is where I'm headed. Christ my daddy. We done talked. I'm good. And this one's standing. Period. I hope that answered your question.
You gave me your view. Denise, what did you do with your situation?
Which one?
Whichever one you want to address. First, review the situation, and then tell me what was your solution.
Well, it took something to happen that would place me in a brokenness. And when I said that, I was older when I realized that everything was being shown to me. I got into a place where when my mom passed away, it was like, okay, I have nobody, you know. So after a couple of years of going through the back and forth and just this, you know, having these voided spaces, I kind of shunned away from everyone. But then I realized that after having a conversation with my father, having a conversation with him, he could only give me what he was taught. So,
right.
Yeah, he can only give me what he was taught. Because even with that, but even in the midst of all of that, here I have a teenage daughter. Of course, dad is not in the home, but he's there. But she got to this point where, you know, so she's been in that same, she's been in that same space where I was, of trying to find that embrace from a physical father. So I was able to discuss with her. So it's like the relationship with me and my dad it was always there, but it seemed like it was much stronger after, you know, expressing how I felt. Because, again, I'm very verbal. Expressing how I felt about certain things to say, you know, you don't love me like you love so-and-so. Or you have more love for this person than you do for me. And then it was like, no, I don't. I love you all the same. Then the part of saying that, well, I never was given, no one ever showed me this. Or saying, so I showed you the best I knew. So he could only give me what he knew as being the provider. So even in the relationship, from that point, I started looking at how can you provide for me? So, Ms. Roxanne, I've been single for a very, very long time, okay? And of course, abstinent the entire time. But so I started looking at, if you can't provide for me, then I don't want to deal with you. So I kind of dealt with that situation. Then you still, even though I looked at that, I try to still look at everybody to say, can he be like my dad? Can he take care of me like my dad can? I find out that's not always true.
Right.
Okay. But when it came down to that, so again, as I was saying, my relationship with my father is much stronger than it was all the other times that I was looking. So it's like I can verbally express how I feel. He embraces me more without me asking for a hug, you know, so he embraces me so I don't have to ask for it.
Gotcha.
So it filled that void in that area. That void was filled. And then, of course, you know, I had to love me, accept me, and say, even if no one else does or anyone, no one else embraces me, I'm going to embrace myself. Some might
love it.
Me being conceited or, you know, or how they say, high sedity, I'm a sedity person. It's just that I loved myself enough to say that I'm going to embrace myself. I'm not going to look for something someone else can give me if I can't give myself.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to put you two on hold. I have someone else that wants to chime in, so give me one second.
Okay.
If they'll let me put it on hold, my system is acting up. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Thank you for calling into Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. This is Fatina. Who do I have the pleasure?
Yeah, how you doing tonight, ma'am? This is Jay calling from Georgia right now.
Well, thank you, Jay, for calling from Georgia. Thank you for chiming
yes,
in.
Ma'am.
And thank you for listening to the show. I would love to hear
it. It's a very good conversation right now. I like it. It's a very good conversation
thank
that
you.
A lot of people need to have. It's very needed, and, you know. I wanted to be a part of it,
yes.
If you wouldn't mind having me.
I sure don't. Please. You have the floor.
Well, you know, I really wanted to talk to all the ladies that was on the line, including yourself. You know, I think this is a really good conversation for all of us, and I would love to get, you know, everybody that was on the line, you know, their feedback and everything. But really, my whole thing is, though, you know, that are you a Christian, first of all? Can I ask you that question?
Yes. Everybody's on the line that's been on the line are Christians. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good.
And
are
you
one? Do you, yes, ma'am. I try to be every day a little better than I was yesterday. Yes, ma'am. I'm a newly found one, though, you know, because I've lived a very hellish and violent past, you know, and I'm newly found and I'm working on it every day. So I would claim it. Yes, ma'am. I'm trying. You know what I'm saying? But what I would say, though, is that the one thing that I've actually realized about relationships and when it comes to the men and women and all these things in the world today is that it's kind of hard for me to explain this, so I'm going to try my best, right? What happens is, though, it's been passed down from generations, from our parents, our parents' parents, our parents' parents' parents, and et cetera, and so on and so forth, though, with it, that women have been conditioned to deal with weak men, and weak men, it has been passed down from weak men unto their sons, and because, you know, the fathers wasn't there for them, because they were weak men and couldn't deal with the mother of the children. So therefore they left and left the children, especially the male sons and the daughters too, to be alone with the mother, you know, and the mother wasn't led by God. And so what happened is the children end up taking on the mother's identity, the men and the women children, the boys and girls. So what happens is they take on the mother's identity. And so what happens is you get a generation of men that are, they look very masculine. On the outside, you know, you would never know the difference. They look very masculine. They just look like a man. But their identity is that of a woman. Their mind state is that of a woman. So what happens is the women nowadays, and what I see is that women get in relationships with these men that are not headed by God. You think that God is not the head of their life. So what happens is women get in relationships with these men, and what they don't realize is it's pretty much like a lesbian relationship. You got two women together, though, because the man might look masculine on the outside and he might have all the physical attributes of a man, but it's mentally and spiritually, it's like two women being together, though, because he has the identity of a woman. And that's the one thing that I've really been seeing lately, though, is the fact that a lot of these guys, these men that were weak because they wasn't taught any better to deal with these women, you know, their baby mothers, you know, the women, the mothers of their children, they couldn't deal with them because God wasn't the head of them. So they passed it down to their kids, and then their kids grew up, the boys and the girls, they had their mother's identity because the father was weak and, you know, he wasn't around, so that he left, and then it was just a mess. Now the boys are emotional when they grow up. They're angry. They get in and out of trouble. A lot of them end up in and out of jail. You know, they're very emotional when it comes to bad situations in life, when men are really supposed to be logical, and instead of being emotional about situations, they're supposed to overcome them. But the fathers were not led by God, so therefore they wasn't able to teach their sons and daughters how to overcome situations. Instead, they succumb to them with emotions and anger when a situation happens, you know, because they took on the identity of that of a woman. And it's a very tricky thing without me sounding hateful, and I don't want nobody to take me wrong right now, but there's a spiritual order that God gave us, which is God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, woman over children. That is the spiritual order God gave us. And when I try to tell people this, especially as Christians, you know, they try to deter away from it because I guess it teaches men and women, it gives them a certain level of responsibility that they have to have. And I guess men and women these days, since they've been so conditioned to live the opposite life, they're not ready to accept that responsibility that comes with the spiritual order of life that God gave us himself. So I guess what happens is these days, don't nobody want to hear that mess. In layman's terms, you know what I'm saying? So they try to make excuses for it. But really what happens is when you live under the spiritual order that God gave us, it's a beautiful thing because the level of leadership trickles down from God to Christ to man to the woman. It's like a trickle-down effect, right? So then what happens is when you live by that, you think like the men are no longer the men of the world. They're men of God. So therefore they're able to lead their wife, and the wife is able to lead the children, and et cetera, because it's trickled down from God himself. But what happens is nowadays women are getting with these men that God is not the head of their life. And the tricky part is a lot of these men, you know, they pretend to be Christians or they pretend to act like God is the head of their life, but their lifestyle does not deter that. It doesn't prove that because they really live by the flesh. And they lean on their own understanding, which the Bible tells us not to do, though. So what happens is women get in relationships with these men that convince them that they are headed by God or that they are men of God. And what happens is women fall for this mess, and therefore don't none of it work, though, because, you know, the earning that I see inside of women these days, the earning that they earn for something, there's something missing. What they're missing is true men of God. And what they're dealing with nowadays is a lot of very feminine men mentally. They're dealing with physically dealing with men, but they're mentally dealing with a woman that look like a man. So what happens is women don't seem to understand this because nobody ever told them this. Pastors don't preach about this because a lot of pastors ain't what they claim to be, you know, that they was called by their mothers and stuff like that. So what happens is women don't know that they're dealing with, you know, they're dealing with men physically, but they don't understand that they're dealing with a woman mentally, though. And what happens is that's why they don't never work these days, because it's kind of like two women being in a relationship, and trust me, it don't work out. Or what I've seen is that when men are not led by God, they cannot lead a family. You know what I'm saying? The spiritual order is broken. So when women always act like, you know, women always say that they have problems with relationships with men, and And vice versa, men always talk about how they have problems with women, but the only men I hear complaining about having problems with women are the men that are not led by God. You dig what I'm saying? So, and the women that are always saying they have problems with men in relationships, they always deal with men that are physically men, but they're mentally, they have the identity of a woman. So it always trips me out that I hear these conversations going on when I don't think nobody realizes what they're really doing. They're dealing with a man that's physically a man. And he might make you, he might give you the aura that that's a man. Like, you know, I look at him, I see a man, right? But then when it comes to the mental side of it, the spiritual side, you're dealing with a woman. So therefore, you don't fully respect them as a man, though, because what I've learned is that whenever a man and woman follows the spiritual order that God gave us, they don't have a choice in that. They are naturally attracted to this, and they naturally fall in line. The men fall in line with God, the women fall in line with the man that's led by God, and then therefore the children fall in line with the man and woman that raises them, because it's all a trickle-down effect. But nowadays, a lot of the men have fallen away from God. Nobody believes in God anymore like that. They all say they do, but their lives prove us otherwise. You dig what I'm saying? So the order of God is completely gone, so therefore relationships are out of whack, and therefore everybody's a relationship expert, I guess. Everybody always talks about them, and they have their side, and then the men come, and they have their side, and all this, et cetera. But the order of God is gone, so therefore relationships will never work in this day and time. It'll never happen. You could always complain and say the realest thing you can say on your side, and then the men will come and say the realest thing they can say on their side, but it'll never be centered because the spiritual order of God is not there, because men and women of these days have completely forgotten about the spiritual order of God. They do not want to hear that mess. They do not want to take on the responsibility that he gave us with them roles. Therefore, roles no longer exist. Therefore, relationships no longer have power, and therefore, relationships no longer last, and they're no longer fulfillment, and they're no longer happy. And that's what I've learned. And I don't mean to babble. I'm sorry. I kind of took a long time. It happened.
No, that's okay. Actually, I have the ladies on the line with me. I wish I would have got you on here earlier. But what it tells me is it looks like we're going to extend this conversation to next week if you are willing to join us on the line next Sunday.
Yes, ma'am. I will try my best. Yes, ma'am. I'll try my best.
Okay.
I do have a work schedule. I'll be busy, but I will try my best.
Oh, you do.
It's a very good conversation.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Very good conversation.
Thank
you for listening, by the way.
Continue this. Oh, no. Thank you for tuning in. Well, I want to get with you because I definitely want to make this we don't have to do it necessarily next Sunday, but I definitely want to continue this conversation for another Sunday. So I will have to get with you in your schedule, and I want to continue this conversation because what you said was very deep. And I know my girlfriend heard the conversation, and they're both very people that I'm sure they have opinions about this. I'm just going to end it with mine as well. You made some very, very strong points because most of us are single mothers, and we have to do what we have to do because we don't have those male figures in the home. So we have to be, unfortunately, we have to be the nurturer and the discipliner in the home. And we're not left with that. Sometimes I look for the church to do that. I look for the church to, you know, the males in the church. I get what you're saying. A lot of things that you're saying, there's some truth to that. I definitely get what you're saying. But unfortunately, as women, we have to raise these men up. Now, do I believe that all situations like that? No, because you do have some that overcome those stereotypes. But, you know, for the most part, you do have some that do not overcome those stereotypes. And it's a situation that's definitely one that needs to be addressed and something that I want to address at a later date. Denise, you got 15 seconds, and then I got to hit it to... Well, you got less than 15 seconds. Let's go. Denise,
well,
are you still there?
I can't say anything in 15 seconds, but
I do
agree in some part of Mr. J, what he indicated as far as the order of service.
Yes. Awesome.
So I do agree to that point.
Gotcha.
Will you be
willing to come back later?
I'm sorry?
No, Denise, would you really be willing to come back in on another Sunday?
Yes.
So we could, okay. Roxanne, would you be 15 seconds?
All I wanted to say was the natural order. The husband is the head of the household, not your boyfriend. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Well, the husband
would be willing to come
wife,
back.
Not the household.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the difference.
You all be willing to
but
come back?
I'm just saying it's not your boy. It's not your boyfriend and women.
Yes,
do
ma'am.
That.
Absolutely not. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely
will y'all
not.
Be willing to come back on Sunday?
Yes, ma'am, you will.
Okay, so I ran out of my time, so I want to thank you all for chiming in. Jay, I have your information. Is it okay for me to reach back out to you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You do what you got to do. I'd love to hear from you guys.
Okay.
Man. It's a really good conversation. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to schedule for us to do another show because this is very good. I love this. But that perspective that you gave from a male is definitely one that needs to have more time to do it because I've actually ran out of my time. But it is something that's very, very instrumental, and I want to bring more males on the line for this particular one. So I thank you all for tuning in.
Just make sure they're not betas.
I got you. Well, why don't you invite the males to come in? Because I'm going to invite
know a
all
lot.
Males.
I don't
okay,
know a lot of
well,
alpha males. It's very far and few.
Okay. Well, that's your challenge, to invite some alpha males. So I'm going to invite alpha and beta because that's what makes the show, to invite them to come on the show. So I want you to look at your work schedule for the next few Sundays and get back with me. Ladies, I need you all to do the same. I'm trying to do this within the next 2 to 3 weeks, okay? And then get back with me and let me know what your availabilities are, and then collectively you can come back on the show to discuss this, okay?
Okay. Got
all
it.
All right. Thank you all for joining me, and I thank you all for tuning in for Chronicles of a Woman, and I will see you again next Sunday at 9:30. Be blessed.